Episode 20, Season 2 of The Bad Apples. This is the final episode of this season, and yes, we have seasons here at The Bad Apples. If you have heard lately, Tilts, that is the Linux Link Tech show, you will have heard that Dan and Pat were shamelessly, blatantly criticizing The Bad Apples for having seasons. Well, actually for a number of things. One of them was Dan was criticizing us, or me, for having strange or inappropriately named episode titles, i.e. very vague. So instead of having something like The Bad Apples, episode 20, I simply had something like 2X20. And this is very true. I did do it that way, and the reason I did it that way was simply because when I first got into podcasting, the ones that I listened to, I guess, just did it that way or something. But also, I kind of figured after a while you get used to the way different podcasts name themselves, so even though they don't say The Bad Apples, you just kind of know when you see 2X20 that that is The Bad Apples. But having said that, I do understand that not everyone has the same, I guess, workflow for downloading and watching or downloading and listening to podcasts as I do. So I decided it was probably a really valid point and that I should probably go ahead and switch or be a little bit more clear when I name my episodes. The other thing that they were complaining about was the idea of seasons with podcasts. And while on one hand I understand that having a season in a podcast is a bit strange, it's not like you have to give the actors, you know, a break or something. The reason I do a season is really primarily because when I originally did this podcast with my co-host, who maybe like one person probably digs it primarily, remembers, Gort, he and I decided we would commit to doing 20 episodes. And if we were at the end of that, if we found that we still had time to do a podcast and still had energy and everything like that and we liked it, then we would continue. So in my mind, it's kind of like 20, you know, 20 per, I don't know, in 20 segments, I guess, you know. Plus, I have a slightly mathematical mind at times, and I do find it helpful to divide things up into bite-sized kind of logical chunks, even though I have no idea what one season is going to be about from one time to the other. So there's not really a thematic thing going on. It's just because I need structure for this podcast, and because that was the original sort of deal to do 20 episodes. So there you go. That's why I have seasons. Aside from all that, the Linux Link Tech show is now an enemy of the Bad Apples, and anything they say about us will be thoroughly denied. So, well, who am I kidding, actually? To get mentioned on the Linux Link Tech show, whether it's for criticizing the way I do things or whether it's because they love everything I do, that's great publicity. So I'm just going to take it. I'm gonna go for it. But they're still enemies of the Bad Apples, so there you go. A quick personal update here before I get into the real topic of the episode. I recently found out that I need to move house over, I don't know, 500 miles or 800 miles. It's a lot of miles that I'm moving, so it's a major move for me. I had to sell a lot of my computers, and really getting rid of most of what I own, actually, just basically some computers and some computer books and some clothes and some synthesizers, and that's about it. And these are all small. So I am making a fairly big move, so the end of this season couldn't have come at a better time. So you might not hear from me for a week or possibly 2 weeks before I get around to starting Season 3 proper. So the reason for that is just because of the move. It's not for any other reason. So there you go. The next season, I will definitely have some episodes on the EEE PC, notably the 900, because I did give I did get an EEE PC 900 recently, and I have a lot to say about it, I guess. So I will be talking about it in the near future. We're also bidding adieu to the iBook that I have been using for much of this season. It was an iBook, of course, running Fedora 8 and also Slackintosh, dual booting between the two. And recently I have done a lot of work on that iBook because I'm preparing to give it away to a student that I know. And what I did for that was I tried to put Yellow Dog Linux on there for the student, and I had a lot of issues with that. Not necessarily because of Yellow Dog, I don't think. No, Yellow Dog was quite nice actually. It used the E17 desktop, so it's the latest and greatest desktop. I think that if you gave an Apple computer to someone with the Yellow Dog desktop environment, or the Yellow Dog distribution with the E17, I think that people would think it was just the native OS. I mean, it looks really, really sharp. It's really nice. Strongly recommend it. Yellow Dog 6 is really quite nice. The desktop is a little bit less flashy, I guess, I felt, than Yellow Dog 5. So, yeah, it's definitely really, really nice, worth checking out. The flip side of that is that it doesn't do you any favors on older Macs. It felt a little bit, just ever so slightly sluggish on the G4 iBook, which obviously does not have a separate graphics card. It's got shared graphics memory, has a good 1.1 gigabytes of RAM, but it's, 900 megahertz processor. So it just didn't feel quite as snappy as I thought it should, so I went back to Fedora 8 on it with the GNOME desktop, turned the basic desktop effects that came, that come default. It's not any extra compiz stuff, it's just the wobbly windows and the desktop cube, and everything's running really well. It's really nice. So Yellow Dog's good. Check it out for faster processors, faster Macs. The only thing to watch out for it was I didn't feel that I really had quite as many repositories as I'm pretty sure I have in Fedora 8. With Yellow Dog, I felt like I had, a Yellow Dog repo, and that was kind of it, and there wasn't really a whole lot available to me as far as I could tell. I might be missing something, so don't swear to this, but I put Fedora back in, added the Livna repository, and between that, the Fedora repository, and the install media, I feel like I have a really good basis from which to draw, lots and lots of different applications. So, but otherwise, yeah, Yellow Dog is sharp looking. Yellow Dog 6 is their latest release. It was back in February. Looks really nice. It seems really appealing. If you've got a PowerPC machine like a G5 or something, try it out. A month ago now, and he had a couple of comments and questions about power management, battery power, things like that under Linux. And at the time, I didn't really have a whole lot to say about it because I hadn't really thought of it that much, which probably is a good sign, but over the past few months, I've been reading up on it, and I have really done some intentional and concentrated, I wouldn't say tests, but benchmarkings, I guess, of the different computers that I have access to that run on batteries, and trying to figure out just where Linux does stand with power management. So I'm by no means an expert on this, obviously. At this point in my Unix and Linux life, I certainly don't have any idea of what kind of secret code goes on between the computer and the battery, or the OS, rather, and the battery. It's obviously a constant source of speculation and debate about, what kind of what kind of secret handshake the battery does need from an OS so that it will run properly. And many people have the theory that the native OS on a computer will be able to talk to the battery better than something like Linux, which doesn't really have the manufacturer support like, you know, Windows or OS X does. So, and this may be true. Like I say, I'm not really sure because at this point I just don't know enough about it. And as I learn more about it, I will certainly relay that information on this podcast. And so I'm not sure, but I did do, you know, as much practical testing as I could. I do know from an interview that I did at the Southern California Linux Expo with a guy named Scorch or Scorchy from the Rockbox project. And I believe I posted his interview on Hacker Public Radio, so you could find that on there. And so he was talking about, in particular, the iPods and how the battery management for the iPods was actually a problem for the Rockbox project, because there were system calls or whatever to that battery that Apple firmware seemed to be making so that it would last longer that they did not have access to. And so the battery life was shorter on Rockbox, an iPod running the Rockbox, as opposed to an iPod running the native Apple firmware. And while that may be true, and I do believe it is true, the only iPods that I have access to are things that I've, you know, repaired. You know, people have given me broken ones, and I'll install a new hard drive into them or whatever. So the ones that I've got are old anyway, and it's kind of hard for me to test what the battery life would really be. I don't feel like I have a whole lot of experience with iPods, but here's a guy from Rockbox talking about it, and he says there's a problem, so I'm going to believe that. So whether or not that's a problem for people, you know, it might be a okay trade-off to be able to manage your music the way you want to manage it and get slightly shorter battery life. But certainly that's an iPod, not quite as sort of universal or broad as, quote, laptops. You know, lots of different laptops out there. I'm sure there are only so many motherboards and so many ways of doing battery power on, you know, on this computer system, I'm sure. So I'm hoping that that would have a little bit more standardization than something that's just kind of the epitome of proprietaryism, like the iPod. So on my Sony Vaio, for instance, which runs, it's a Centrino system, and when I the very first time I installed Linux on it, it was a Slackware install. I've never booted it into Windows. When I got it, I took it out of the box, and the very first disk I put into it was Slackware. So it literally never got booted into Windows, so I don't have Windows to compare it to. And I wouldn't have known what to do in Windows even if I had decided to use it at all. Never used Windows, don't know what to do with it, so have no comparison there. I do, however, have comparison from one Linux distribution to another on that Sony. And I can say that when the Sony was running my very, very, very first installation of Slackware, and understand that this was not just my very first installation of Slackware, it was my very first real installation of Linux at all. So when it was doing that, the battery life I felt was a lot shorter than it should have been for a brand new laptop. Okay, then I installed Ubuntu on it sometime later, and that was handling it a lot better. And at that point, I believe I just kind of stopped thinking about it, because it definitely felt right to me. It didn't feel like I was getting cheated out of battery power by running Linux. Now, after that, I installed Slackware again, and I had learned a lot by that point. So I knew enough to recompile my kernel with more power management support. So doing that and turning on the special function or the special options specifically for Sony laptop support really, really helped get my laptop under Slackware where it needed to be. So if you are running Linux on a laptop that you feel is being shortchanged on battery life by the Linux OS, you may look into recompiling a kernel for that distribution. And some people would argue that you should just recompile a kernel anyway because the stock generic kernel compilation, you know, might, I mean, it's not specifically tailored for your system, so you could probably do yourself some favors by playing around with that. It's hard to mess something up like that, because at very worst, you'll just have to boot back into your old generic kernel, so it could be worth a shot anyway. I did a kernel compilation episode on Hacker Public Radio. I think it's episode 91 or 92 or something. It's somewhere in the 90s, I think, so you can definitely give that a listen. Doing that for my Slackware install helped that a lot. And that was running 3.5 point something or another. KDE 3.5 point something or another. I think it was 9. Or no, it must have been whatever it was. The 7 maybe. Now, most recently I've installed Fedora 9 as a dual boot with the Slackware installation. So Fedora 9 on a partition running KDE 4. And back when KDE 4 first came out, I installed on just on a little partition. I don't remember what distribution it was. I think it was Kubuntu, maybe. I think it might have been Kubuntu. Possibly. It might not have been. But I installed something with KDE 4 on it, and I was already noticing that it was really just a noticeable jump in battery life. And at first I thought because I wasn't really doing that much on that partition. You know, I was just kind of playing around with KDE 4. It wasn't like I was doing a whole lot of hard work. And then at the KDE 4 release event, they were talking a lot about the battery power management in KDE 4 and how it had been improved. Now, again, I don't know enough about this kind of thing to really know how or why that might have been improved code-wise, but I can say that just from using the Fedora 9 installation that I have now running KDE 4, I've definitely noticed what I consider to be a substantial and noticeable, significant power management increase, just a longer battery power life running KDE 4 than anything else that I've run so far. And just to give that a little bit of context, I will be sitting next to a friend with a MacBook, a 13-inch MacBook, running OS 10, and I'll be using my Sony running Fedora 9 with KDE 4, and this is a 15-inch Sony, so in theory, the screens, you know, mine should be taking a lot more power than that little 13-inch should be, and we've got very similar systems, right, because mine's Centrino, his is a MacBook. And they've both got the internal Intel parts by and large. I mean, obviously there are differences here and there, but my Sony will outlast the 13-inch MacBook running its native OS. And here I am with a 15-inch running a Linux OS outlasting the life of the MacBook. So I find that kind of significant, I guess. And I drive my computer pretty hard. Sounds like it's time for a coffee break. I'm going to go get myself a cup of coffee, and then we'll come back to wrap this topic up. So what about this PowerPC situation? Well, the iBook G4 that I have, obviously an older computer, so the battery life on it isn't going to be that great anyway under any OS. But what I would do is so this is the original install of the iBook. So I had the very small OS 10 partition. I had Slack and Tosh, and I had Fedora. And what I did was I would go on to OS 10, and I would do whatever I was going to do. Again, some file managing, some ripping, some things like that. And I would see how, I didn't use a stopwatch or anything, but I would take note of the time in and the time out, and then I would recharge it and boot into Slackintosh or Fedora and do the same kind of stuff. Slackintosh, it performed incredibly well. That one was just very, very impressive to me. I was really just really taken aback by how it seemed to perform. And I don't know if that's because it is specifically designed for the Macintosh platform, whereas considering that Fedora PowerPC and Yellowdog PowerPC are both designed, I mean, really for the PowerPC chip, not necessarily for a certain platform. So obviously Yellowdog takes into account PlayStation 3, and Fedora takes into account IBM platforms that are running on PowerPC. So it could just be that the Slackintosh developers really have really fine-tuned it for the Macintosh computer. But I would say that Slackintosh seemed to perform just really, really well. I would almost want to say it outperformed OS X. In fact, it sometimes seemed that way. Not substantially, but it seems like the workload I could do on Slackintosh would last longer than a similar workload on OS X. I wouldn't swear to that because these aren't the most scientific tests. But I mean, I was ripping video on Slackintosh, and it was lasting a surprising long amount of time. So I was very impressed. Fedora and OS X really came in neck and neck, which surprised me a little bit. I was prepared to find that Linux wasn't talking to the power, the battery, the same way that OS X was. But frankly, I was just really impressed. I couldn't tell the difference. And again, I was doing some heavy-duty stuff on here. I've been ripping CDs and DVDs, and I would even and ripping video on this little iBook is not the best experience. It's, you know, it's pretty slow chip for that kind of workload. But I would do it for short things like X-File episodes and things like that, and it would do it. You know, it didn't kill the battery, you know, right away, and they both typically would do approximately the same kind of performance in terms of, you know, the workload for however long the battery was going to stay on. So I was very pleasantly surprised. So what are some of the possible reasons that someone might be experiencing poor performance with their battery under a Linux OS? As far as I can tell, and this is just from the research that I've done, combined with a little bit of experience on this with my Sony, I think part of it might be the kernel that has been included in the distribution that you're trying on your computer. Whether this is a PowerPC distribution, or whether it's something for an Intel laptop or an AMD or something like that, you might want to take a look at the kernel that's included and think about recompiling it with any kind of, you know, power management, and quite frequently there are specific laptop options within the kernel. I know there was a Sony laptop option. I'm pretty sure I saw a Toshiba option. You know, there are some things that they've taken into account within into the kernel code that you can turn those options on and off, and it may help you with performance. So you should do that. Again, I did that on my Sony in the very, very first Slackware install, and it did help me quite a bit. So you might want to try that. If you've never compiled the kernel, I did an episode on this on Hacker Public Radio, episode I think 91 or 2 or something. It's in the 90s, I think. So you can listen to that. And there's another one coming up that I'm going to be doing on kernel compiling across a net distributed load, like a cluster. And probably patching kernels as well. So you can give that a listen and give it a shot. Like I say in the episode, it's kind of like the worst thing you can do is just have to reboot into your old kernel, and your new kernel just won't work. It's kind of hard to, you know, you're not going to mess up your whole computer as long as you keep that old kernel lying around, the known working kernel. The other option is, as far as I can tell, of, you know, the desktop manager that you're using. The desktop environment apparently does have quite a bit to do with how it manages the battery. So give a couple of different environments a shot and see if they help at all. Make sure that you've got the, you know, take a poke around in the desktop environment and see what kind of options you have for battery conservation and things like that. So also, you know, if you do think you're having a problem, try just for kicks. I mean, if you've got the time and the inclination to do this, try booting into whatever OS the manufacturer of the computer had in mind for you to use. Try booting into that, and give it a couple of do a couple of tests. Do some work in that OS, however painful it may be, and get a feel for what that OS gives your battery life, because you never really know. You know, it might be just that you're thinking there's not as much battery life, but in reality, it's the same as what would be going on with a native OS. And again, this is all just from my experience. I've read up on as much about power management as possible in the past month or so, but bottom line is I've only got a couple of computers to really play around with and test. So let me know what you find, definitely. You can email me at gort.klaatu@gmail.com. And yeah, let me know what kind of tests you've run and what you've found in your exploration of prolonging your battery life. This has been episode 20 of season 2 of The Bad Apples. Need to contact me, it's gort.klaatu@gmail.com. The website is thebadapples.info. Be sure to check out my other podcast, fedorareloaded.com.